reading this evening is Psalm 100, which will be found on page 604 of the Church Bible. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with hands. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Actually, can you keep us up on the screen, please? Because I don't have any other visuals this evening. I think it would be quite helpful to be able to see the psalm that I'm talking about. This term, we're using the theme meeting around the table as we think about our community life and work. So this is going to take us from May through to July. And tonight I want to set this in a context. I want us to think about the fact that we are putting God at the centre of our corporate life. And that we are responding to his goodness. We're not actually the initiators of this relationship. It's not what we do that brings us into relationship with God. It's what he's done for us. And also, as we start this series, to think about what it means to be community and what it means to be working, I want us to try and get into our heads that we are all on a level together. We sometimes talk about newcomers in church as if they are a particular breed of people. And yet we've all been newcomers. At what point do we stop being a newcomer and become something else? What is the something else? We wouldn't like to call ourselves oldcomers, I don't think, would we? So it's important to bear in mind that in all these things, I'm not talking about the things that people who've been around for a long time do, and that other people have to learn and join in. We are all in this together. The church as it gathers is not an established group of people and some others who are on the edge. Our church changes every week. Every time we gather in service, we are a different group of people. Even regular people may be here one week and not the next. But the people gathering in his cause, coming in through the gates, are what constitutes the church in this place. All of us are a part of that. So we're using this idea of meeting around the table because hospitality is really important. In every culture that I can think of, the rites of passage often have food associated with them. It's often a focus, isn't it? We talk about birthday cake when somebody celebrates birthday. There are wedding cakes. It's actually quite a lot of cake in our culture. Perhaps they'll look back on us one day as the age of the cake. We have family meals. Christmas lunch is a big thing for many people. In America, it's Thanksgiving. There are bar mitzvahs and seder meals for people in the Jewish world. Every religion, culture, and people group seems to have some sort of celebration based around a meal. It's when people get to know one another. And we had a great example of this, didn't we, last month, when we had share a meal the month before now. That succeeded in getting people to meet and chat to others that they may only have seen across a crowded church, or maybe never even met before. And that focus of food helps people to relax. It's something they have in common as they eat together. So we're going to look at who Jesus ate with and how it was based around Jesus. We're going to think about the Last Supper and what it means for us to eat with Jesus. We're going to be looking at how we reach out, how we invite and welcome others in, and looking at some of the issues we face when we share our lives and worship, and the joys and the challenges. We're going to be thinking about giving for one another in all sorts of ways, and forgiving one another. We're going to think about our commitment to each other, and our responsibilities for the young, the old, and the weary. So all of that, I hope we're going to cover in the next 3 months. I hope that we're going to reflect on what it is that makes us a strong community. I believe that we are a strong community. We've survived this last 18 months together, and we've grown stronger through it. But I think there's more that we have to discover, and ways that we can look at what and how we do things that will help us to be an outwardly looking community too. But today, as I say, we're going to look at Psalm 100, which helps us set the context for our gathering. Shout for joy to the Lord, all we earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him in joyful songs. I don't know about you, but I don't shout very much these days. And when we do shout, it's an activity that overrides anything else we might be doing. You can't really shout absent-mindedly, can you? You shout because you're very involved in something, you're very concerned about something. It releases energy, it can release frustration. Actually, that's probably when I shout most, if I drop something at home. It demands and focuses our attention. It's wholehearted, and it can be a bit shocking at times. If someone else shouts when you're expecting it, then it really is. It often demands a response of some sort. Ian and I went to a concert at the Royal Hall on Monday night. I call it a concert. I think it was a concert. It might have been a gig. It wasn't a kind of violins and cellos sort of concert. I can't even remember what the group is called. Walk Off the Earth. If you've heard of Walk Off the Earth, they're a very small Canadian band. Well, now a very big Canadian band. Great fun. Amazing music. But the people there made their appreciation very evident at the end of the concert, and their desire to see and hear more. It was very vocal, as people shouted and whistled and demanded that the band came back on again. And it was quite physical, as they clapped their hands and stamped their feet. And we were sitting in the circle, and I was thinking, it's not good when people all stamp their feet at the same time. And you know, I'm sure it's not good. But it was fun. It's engaging, that noise, that enthusiasm. It was joyful, and it made you want to join in. I sat there thinking, I wish I had a wolf whistle. Anybody would like to teach me afterwards, I'd be very appreciative. But I also think that perhaps it's easier to do that when we're together with other people, to get swept along by the enthusiasm of others. And every so often I get asked that question about, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? I was thinking this week, and maybe sometimes the question is, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Yeah, the other question is, does going to church make you a Christian? And we know that doesn't work in either direction, really. But this song is telling us to come together, to feed off each other's enthusiasm, to rejoice with one another over the birth of grandchildren, over the way that God has provided for us, the way that he answers prayers. And as we do that together, we are beginning the joy. The whole earth in this is told to shout for joy. That makes me think of the dawn chorus of trees turning green and young animals and birds at this time of year. It's exuberant, it's joyful, And we, with the rest of creation, are designed to worship, to come alive as we do that. We're told to worship gladly, not with a sense of duty, not from fear or shame or with embarrassment, but freely and fully in whatever way works for us. And we know that there are different styles and different characters. So I wonder what sort of worship and wonder. And I'm actually going to ask you just to think about that and to talk to the person sitting next to you. What sort of worship? When does your heart sing in worship? It might be in a service like singing. It might be as calling something in a secret. It might be as you walk along Ragged Hill. I don't know what it is. What makes your heart really sing with worship? Take a minute just to think about it and to verbalize for the person next to you.
Walking up through the tunnels in the station of work, probably. Maybe one thing. Or in these kind of settings, actually. From Bailey.
It's alright. I quite like it when you get the
organ. The organ starts off.
Yeah, I like one of those. You say it has more meaning in it, but it's unexpected.
Yeah, is there any particular hymns? Yeah, I think that's a good, always a good one.
Okay, and now I'm going to talk to you again, just a little
bit more, just to get to know. Still, that's a good
bit of energy. So I hope you manage to think of something that makes your heart sing, that engages you in a special, that draws you closer to God and to His presence. Now I wonder, as we think about ourselves that evening, how about your friends and neighbours? How in our society, in our culture, do people express joy and delight in things? How in our surrounding culture do people express joy and delight? On Monday evening, they were whooping and clapping and stamping their feet and expressing themselves very clearly. I guess at football matches, there is something in that joy and delight as people cheer and groan and join in together. Sometimes we're told that we are quite stiff upper lip. In our culture, we're quite reserved. And that's okay as long as we find some way of expressing to God our worship and some way of engaging in that, not being caught within the way we feel we should have. Okay, moving on. Know that the Lord is God. It's He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We need the right perspective as we join together, as we come to worship. I remember when I was very little, under five, because I'm in the house we lived in, I remember wondering how there could be so much life going on around me when I couldn't see it. I see people in cars on the motorway, and they all had their own lives, and I didn't know about them. And they were real, that these things would happen, and I almost got to the stage of wondering if they happened when I wasn't looking, or whether they just came into being when I was looking. I was very young at the time. And conversely, the other part of me was wondering whether I really could be unique. I was convinced that somewhere else in the world there was a Kate Lee who was living in the same sort of house as I did, doing the same sort of things as I did, listening perhaps to the same sort of music as I was. And if I'm really honest, those two things still baffle me a bit now. The thought that I can be completely unique and that maybe nobody else is listening to the same piece of music that I am in the entire world. And also, all those people who have their own lives and their own relationships that I don't know about. I was very much the centre of my universe as a little girl. And I think sometimes we still act in that way, as if we are the centre of the universe, either individually or corporately. As if we are, in a way, our own God, the ones that decide what's important and what's going on. But we're not. We are creations. It's God who made us, and we are His. We're not capable of comprehending God, but He understands us. We are dependent upon Him, who stars us. I'm not sure that we always get that the right way around. God is not dependent upon us. We are His people. The other thing is that we don't choose each other, and we're not asked to judge one another. We are His people. The shepherd brings the sheep into the flock. The sheep that are already there don't get to vet the newcomers and accept them or reject them. Our common focus is worshipping God and following Jesus. Nothing else really matters. So then I started wondering about our stress line, building a community. I wondered whether we are trying too hard to build the community rather than allowing God to build us into a community, or to build us as a community. Sheep and lambs live together. The shepherd keeps a special watch over the lambs and the sheep. But the ewes, the older sheep, I reckon, teach and care for the lambs too. And so we have a responsibility to care for those around us, but not to judge and not to choose. We're all together looking up to our shepherd. The sheep can shepherd each other. So what's our response to all of this? Well, we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. We need to give thanks for all that Jesus has done for us, for God's love and grace. I wonder when we really stop and think about that. In our busy lives, we might thank Him for things that happen, but to thank God really for Jesus. Notice that whenever my fox prays, he always thanks God for Jesus and for what He has done for us. And that's the way for this. Thanksgiving and praising God for His majesty, for His might, and the works of creation. These need to be both in our attitudes and our actions. It's easy to say thanks as we give praise without necessarily being authentic. We can go through the emotions, we can feel our thoughts without actually touching our hearts. God knows us inside and out. I don't know whether I'm the only person who sometimes got to the end of the song and realise that I've been working on my shopping list. Or wondering whether we've got enough eggs for another later. It can come out of our mouths without passing through our brains and our hearts. Let's try and concentrate when we worship on where we are and what we're doing. But also, praise and thanksgiving may be contagious, I think. This isn't just an individual activity, but something we're encouraged to come and do together. That's why we need one another. At a wedding, there are only really two people involved in the action, but all the family and all the guests are joining in, are brought in to rejoice together. But we don't come to watch others worship. I think watching other people worship would be a bit like going to a Michelin-starred restaurant to watch other people eat. How much better we come with an appetite for worship? Whether it's the first time we walk through the doors or whether we've been coming thousands of different Sundays. What's our appetite for worship? For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This doesn't depend on us or revolve around us. For hundreds of years, people have been worshipping in this building. Can you imagine what it would be like to get back in time to the first service that took place here when they just built these columns? That's when they put the roof on. Or maybe when the glass windows went in with all this beautiful stained glass. What would it have been like to be worshipping here in those times? God's faithfulness has continued through generations, and even our building reminds us of that tonight. It's all because of God's love and Jesus' sacrifice. And so as we think in this coming time about gathering around this table, let's remember that we are going to be looking at the things that we do and the way that we do them. But at the center, at the heart of it all, is the fact that we come together to worship and to follow. Amen.